Let's pray. God, we thank you for the ways that you brought us together this morning. We're thankful for the ways that you continue to pour out your love on us as you teach us how to love, as you shape us in the image and likeness of Christ. We pray today that you'll continue to make your love clear to us, that you'll make your love obvious to us as you already have, and that we may continue to follow you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. This beautiful image in 1 Corinthians 14:13 is an image that is probably best translated, follow the love. You have all of this great material in 1 Corinthians 13. And most of you have probably heard it before. Love is patient, love is kind, and then it says love never fails at the end of the poem. And then at the end of 13, it has this beautiful image of, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Follow the love, is what 14 does, just goes right into it, never misses a beat. These three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, follow the love. A lot of translations, though, will translate that next line in 14:1, pursue love. And it's okay. But pursue love doesn't capture. It just doesn't capture it. Because what pursue love does is that it makes us the aggressor. And pursuit, I mean, maybe it's just a problem of language, but pursuit kind of has the connotation of something that's running away from you. Something that's trying to avoid you. You know, it's echoes of Roscoe P. Coltrane in My Generation's Head saying, I'm in hot pursuit. You know what I'm talking about? It's just this I got to go chase something. And so pursue love just doesn't cut it. This literal sort of take these words and turn them into English words in 14:1 of what the New Testament said from the beginning, follow the love, is a way of saying wherever love goes, follow the love. It may choose things that you wouldn't choose for yourself. You may have to follow the love into situations that you might not like. Follow the love anyway. Because wherever it leads, because love is patient, love is kind, and then there's that other idea of love, really an ideal out of 1 John of God is love. Just follow God wherever God leads. And then, that's 13, 14. We've been reading that for a few weeks. And then last week in 15, what 15 does is it's a way of saying that the resurrected life in Jesus is bigger than any of our concerns, even all of the concerns listed in 1 Corinthians 1 through 14. Because you know, you've read 1 Corinthians, right? 1 Corinthians 1 through 14 has all of these controversies, all of these issues, all of the things that the people are writing to Paul about and saying, well, what about this? What about this? Can you help us figure this one out? And I think he ends in 15 on purpose to say, look, the resurrected life of the church in the living eternal Christ Jesus is bigger than anything you wrote to me, and it always will be. Then, as a final word, 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14, right before the letter ends. Keep alert. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. You know, anytime someone says, "This is the last word," most of the time that opens up more conversation. Anytime someone says, "This is the final word on the subject," we have to talk about it. And so it's kind of like a way of saying, here's the final word, so now we have to try to figure that out. We have to talk about it more. And I think that's what Paul is doing here at the end of 1 Corinthians 16 and saying, here's the final word on the matter. Now, go spend the rest of your lives living it. Us as the church, take these basic operating instructions, this last word before the next word, and live them out. And you know, we say that we shouldn't reduce Scripture to a bunch of lists. But here's the final list. Good one to memorize. 1 Corinthians boiled down into 5 sentences. And they open up more sentences. But they're 5 pretty good little sentences. Keep alert. You ever get distracted? You ever realize I haven't been thinking about God lately the way that I know that I should? Maybe I haven't been praying as I should, spending time in God's Word, gathering with the people. And you know all those, right? This is bigger than that. This is keep alert in the sense that we are surrounded at all times and bombarded at all times by all things. Keep alert for the first things. Flip back a chapter into 15 when Paul says, "I passed on to you what I received as of first importance." Keep alert, keep your eyes open, watch out around you. It's pretty simple. And then it gets more difficult. Keep alert, and then stand firm in your faith. How do you stand firm on something that you can't quite get a handle on? Faith? There's other places in Scripture. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. How do you stand firm on something that you don't see? How do you stand firm in your faith? Well, Paul just spent the last 15 and a half chapters talking to a group of people about what church is supposed to look like when they come together. So how do you stand firm in your faith? One easy answer to begin with is you do it together. I mean, yeah, this is a way of saying maybe as simple as just don't give up hope. You ever felt like giving up hope? Maybe this is a way of saying, don't give up hope. Stand firm in your faith. Maybe this is as simple as keep the faith. Maybe. But I think it's bigger than that. I think it's about us together keeping the faith. And I think that's where Be Courageous really starts to take off. Be courageous? Why would he have to tell a group of Christians at the end of a long letter to be courageous? Have you looked around lately? The world we live in? This is not just be brave. This is go out into every day, standing firm in your faith, keeping alert, but also be courageous. It's an attitude. It's a commitment. It's a decision. And it is not coincidental that what follows, be courageous, is be strong. So go back to the very earliest command, the one that we know, or at least are supposed to know and practice the best from the very beginning, that Jesus retaught. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Be courageous. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. That's what's here. And then with all your strength, it's what we do. You ever heard anyone say, I'm spiritual but not religious? I hear that, and what I picture with I'm spiritual but not religious is I think about God, I just don't do anything. Be courageous. Okay? Be with God. Be strong. This is what you have to do. There's a sort of an old teacher that I've read for years that I really love who puts it this way. They play in the leaves and the branches of the tree with no concept of the great trunk. Yeah, there's a way of thinking about God, but what about being strong? And then, let all that you do be done in love. I'm not sure whether that's a corrective against too much commitment to be strong, as though strong is something that we just decide on. Well, I'm going to be strong about this. I'm going to stand up for this. Yeah, but don't forget to cover that in love. Let all that you do be done in love. 1 Corinthians 16, just this 13 and 14, is the closing. It's the closing ideal church prescription for the less than ideal church. It is a closing prescription for any group of people who comes to God and admits that we are a collection of imperfections being renewed by God day by day. It attempts, in its brief five-sentence wisdom, to somehow create the ultimate church family. And all we have to do in response, you don't have to be an expert. We do not, and I cannot emphasize this enough at the end of 1 Corinthians, we do not have to be the perfect, ideal church. We can get close. And I love this church. But we do not have to be the perfect, ideal church. All we have to do, at least as a final word that leads to more words, all we have to do is stay alert, keep the faith, be courageous, be strong. And above everything, what remains? Let all that we do be done in love. Amen.